Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This is the reading of God's Word. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this precious time of hearing Your Word. Let us hear Your Word truly here, so that it will cause our faith to grow. And with that growing faith, let us continue to love You and witness our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Your Word, let us have fellowship with Christ, and let us see what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. And let us rejoice and give You all the glory and thanksgiving. Father, be with the one who is preaching, that he would, by Your grace, bring Your Word correctly to Your people. And Your people, all of us together, will hear Your Word and understand it, and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to You. Receive all the glory. And we thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Paul proclaims Jesus Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that he may present them complete in Christ, and he struggles for them, meaning he prays for them. And the content of prayer we saw in verse 2 last week. Paul prays for them that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, to attain all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. Paul does all this so that they may know Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ is the purpose of all things. Apostle Peter says also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18a, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? John chapter 17, verse 3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. To know God means to know Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 19b says, you know neither Me nor My Father. If you knew Me, you would know My Father also. God has revealed Himself completely in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 9b, Jesus says, he who has seen Me has seen the Father. And to know Jesus is our ultimate purpose. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 and verse 8, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is very clear. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. Another way of saying that is if you don't know Jesus Christ, then there is no eternal life for you. And becoming more holy, becoming more like Christ, is also by the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if you are sanctifying, if you are becoming more like Christ, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have these qualities, and if those qualities are increasing, meaning if you are becoming more like Christ, only way that would happen is through or in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is why when I preach to you, I don't preach works. See, in the world, and if I'm a worldly teacher, and let's say I want you to like lie less, I want you to not lie, then I would deal with that problem, lying. So my message to you will be concerning lying. And I will tell you, don't do it, because I will give you all kinds of life experiences which lying brought me misfortunes. So that I will tell you, see, don't lie, because if you lie, this will happen. And I will tell you, don't lie. But even if I tell you million times or trillion times, don't lie, you will lie. You will. I guarantee it. Oh, you might become very skillful in lying, or maybe do better job in hiding your lying, but you will always lie. Me telling you not to lie will not work. And you already know lying is bad. It's not like you don't know lying is bad, and that's why you're lying. No, you already know. And yet, when worldly teacher says lying is bad, don't lie, they act like that's the first time they realize that lying is bad. Oh, I better not do this. No, you already know. Bible teaches us how preacher like me can help you not lie. It says to teach you Jesus Christ. Because it's only by knowing Him, only by knowing Christ, that you will be able to sanctify and stop these sins. Is in and through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the difference between the worldly teaching and Christian teaching. Rather than dealing with your sin, I need to teach you Christ. Because it's only by knowing Christ you will be more like Christ. Verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, Jesus Christ is all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. There is no wisdom and knowledge without knowing Jesus Christ. But this sinful world also speaks of wisdom. They claim they have also wisdom and knowledge. And they might think that those are useful. Yes, they are useful. But when Jesus returns, all their knowledge and wisdom that they thought they have will completely shown to them, completely not useful. Because it will not do any good to them having those kind of knowledge and wisdom whatsoever. The Bible calls this worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, the wisdom of this world, and it says, is foolishness before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, human wisdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, fleshly wisdom. At the end, this kind of wisdom is not wisdom at all. This sinful world also speaks of knowledge. But 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 says that it is false knowledge. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Romans chapter 1 verse 22 speaks of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And they profess to be wise, but they became fools. The wisdom of this sinful world is, according to James chapter 3, verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Through the wisdom of this world, no one will know God. Through the wisdom and knowledge of this world, they will never know Christ. Meaning they will forever destroy, forever perish. And they will realize that the knowledge and wisdom they thought they had is not at all wisdom and knowledge. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. This sinful world looks at us who believe in Jesus Christ as a foolish people. And the message that we bring, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, foolish. But God says, through its wisdom, world did not come to know God. So God was well pleased through the foolishness of message preached to save those who believe. His plan, which he is well pleased, is to save these people, his people, through the foolishness of the gospel, the message that is preached. Do you know that the preaching that we do every Lord's Day is foolishness to the world? Romans chapter 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." And Jesus Christ, we proclaim, we do not do so with the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And when I came," Paul is saying, "when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." See, in the world, you know, speakers, they're well received if they use all these flowery words and the word of wisdom. That's why they are valued out there. And you need to study those things to have those degrees on those speaking. Paul says, "I did not come to you with all that." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6, "And my message," Paul says, "my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away." Chapter 2, verse 8 says, "The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." We do not preach Christ in the wisdom of this world. The things that I bring to you, the God's word, does it become more valuable if it is said in a flowery words and skillful sentences? You think man's ability to express will be able to sanctify you better? But this is what the world values, because it's worldly wisdom. This sinful world is foolish, the opposite of wise. It does not know Jesus Christ, and it rejects him whom they do not know. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1a, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The sinful world also lacked the true knowledge of the true, for the true knowledge is knowing God through Jesus Christ. And because they have no knowledge of God, they will perish. If you really think about it, only reason that these people will perish forever is that they don't have knowledge of God. Oh, they might be very skillful people. They might be so rich and powerful. It's not because they're lacking anything of the world. It's just that they don't have knowledge of God. Because of that, they will perish forever. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also will reject you from being my priest. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. And chapter 6 verse 6 says, For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God delights in you knowing Him more than any worship or service that you could bring to Him. Because they don't know God, the sinful world has no wisdom and no knowledge at all. Because all those knowledge that they have, oh, it might cause them to make some more money. But that's all about it. Let them live 100 years and see what that knowledge they think they have will do for them. Am I saying that those knowledge that you need, that studying at school to make a living, are they all bad? No. But if you do not have the true knowledge, now all that is completely useless, ultimately. How much time do you spend getting the worldly knowledge? You know, nowadays, it's day early, really early. See, we used to start school when, you know, going to like first grade. But now, not even kindergarten, it's actually preschool, and even preschool, like you start 2, 3 to learn. And go through 12 years of studying, go to college, go postgraduate. How much time do you spend gaining that knowledge compared to how much time you spend gaining the true knowledge? We live as if those worldly knowledge is more important than the knowledge of God. Just look at how we live our lives. My people are perishing because they do not have knowledge, God says. But this is Old Testament Israel. Because if we are truly His people, we do have knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But even if we do, how much do we value it? How much time we spend to gain that knowledge will show by how we live. Gospel brings the good news. So I'm bringing the good news to you. Because left alone, we will be just like non-Christian. We will not value the true knowledge of God. We will not spend any time, or they might even think it's wasting time, studying His Word to gain the true knowledge. But to these kind of people, God promised the wisdom and knowledge. And He promised the Messiah. Because He is the knowledge and the wisdom. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. He's promising the Messiah. The Holy Spirit will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And that righteous branch is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the true knowledge and true wisdom. The King Solomon was known for his wisdom. And Matthew chapter 20, verse 42, Jesus referring to himself saying, something greater than Solomon is here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And this wisdom and the knowledge are not given to everyone. It is hidden in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 3 that we read today, Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom, in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are hidden. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 27, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise, according to the world, and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Because today, same as back then, infants are considered fools. Foolish. Yes, Father, Jesus said, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. This knowledge and wisdom is hidden in Jesus Christ. Unless you accept Christ, you will not gain that wisdom and knowledge. Again, I want to ask you, how valuable is this wisdom and knowledge? Because if you think about it, it is so valuable because without them, you will perish in hell forever. This is not something that you could ignore. You have to have it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 calls this wisdom spiritual wisdom, meaning that the Holy Spirit has to give this to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And the Holy Spirit reveals them to us through the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's through the Word, as Holy Spirit uses, to give you the wisdom and the knowledge. Brothers and sisters, He has already given the wisdom and knowledge to us, and He is continuously giving them to us, even now. We are growing always in wisdom and knowledge. The true wisdom of life for us does not come from the experience of this world. The true wisdom and knowledge is Jesus Christ. See, if you're talking about worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge, how do they come? Well, it's through the experience. But the true wisdom and true knowledge, they don't come from your experience. It comes from the Word. Verse 3 says, "In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It says all the treasures. Why? Because it is precious and valuable. So he describes it as a treasure. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Knowing Jesus Christ, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, how valuable is it to you? I know I just read it. I read it even last week. But again, let me read to you. Again, listen to what Paul says. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him." Like I said before, this world considers its own wisdom and knowledge valuable, because it depends on how much wisdom and knowledge of this world they will decide how much they will pay. It's so valuable to the world. Just look at how hard they work to gain that knowledge, gain that wisdom. Many, many years they spend. Because it is directly related to how much money they're going to make, how well they're going to live in this world. The knowledge of medicine, very, very valuable. Knowledge of computer, engineering. I mean, I could go on and on. Those knowledges, valuable. And I'm not saying they are not needed. And I'm not against you gaining those kind of knowledge. But I am against that you valuing those knowledges more than the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How much effort do you put in gaining the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Because I don't have to ask you how much effort you put in to gain the worldly knowledge. Oh, you will put some effort, I know. And nothing wrong with that. But how much effort do you put in gaining the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Is it really valuable to you? But the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is considered useless in this sinful world. Oh, they don't care. When they hire you because of your knowledge of medicine or engineering or anything, they're not going to ask you your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because to them it's completely useless. But question to you is, do you live your life as if it is completely useless? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our primary purpose in our lives is not seeking the knowledge of this sinful world. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to spiritual blessings, the worldly knowledge is useless. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish. Oh, when you put some effort into gaining the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and when the world sees you putting those effort and time into that, oh, they're going to tell you, you're a fool. There's no time for that. They will not want you to waste time. But brothers and sisters, what do you think? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, is it truly worthless to you? Or is that the most precious treasure that you know? First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribes? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? All the things that this sinful world considers valuable, they are not valuable at all. Jesus Christ is. Even if you're not that successful in this world, if you have Christ, you will be successful forever. But if you don't have Christ, I don't really care how successful you are out there. All that knowledge that world values, it's not going to do you any good when it comes to eternal life. We have to balance our life. God says, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, and what to drink. You know, I don't live a successful life according to the world, but I'm okay. And I know you're okay. But after 70, 80, 90 years of my life, man, I'm going to be more than okay. I'm going to be glorified and live in that glorious place with glorious King. Perfect life forever and ever. Again, can you just see how what I just said would sound so foolish to the world? Jesus Christ, only in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you who possess Jesus Christ also possess in Him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And just like wise virgins, we live our lives in the light of His return, in preparation for His return. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you truly value the knowledge of Christ, then let us put some effort to have it. As much as you study other knowledge, let's study the true knowledge. And Sunday, 1 hour of Sunday, it's not enough, brothers and sisters. Man, you are so arrogant if you think that just hearing God's word 1 hour a week will do it. You're not different from me and I'm not different from you. We're all the same. We need more than 1 hour a week. Oh, trust me on that. Is this treasure to you? His knowledge? Because if worldly treasure is hidden somewhere, and you know that the worldly treasure is hidden somewhere, I know exactly what you're going to do as soon as this is over. You will do your best to go get it. Because it's treasure. Because it's valuable. And that's exactly what I'm asking you. Do you consider this treasure valuable? Or just like the worldly wisdom will say, it's foolishness. But brothers and sisters, we'll talk about this in Colossians chapter 4, but everything that you do, how you live in your life, what you say, what you do out there, you are giving a message to the world. And just listen to the message that you are giving out by your life. Does that message says that knowledge of Jesus Christ is treasure that is so valuable to you? Or your message that you give up by your life says that it's useless, it's worthless? Because you are giving out that message whether you like it or not. You need to understand your life as a preaching because you are preaching to the world when you said to them, you are a Christian. Let's live our lives such a way that they will hear the proper gospel through our lives. That they will hear the truth. Brothers and sisters, again, God is blessing us. That's why you are hearing this today. So that you could sanctify. That you could be more like Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that we are the treasure to you. That you were willing to give up everything, even your life, to find us, to gain us. Oh Father, you are truly treasure to us. The true wisdom and the knowledge is hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us seek Him. Oh Father, bless your people who are gathered in this church. Pour out your grace that they will renew their hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. To dedicate, to give all holy life of heaven so that our life as it preaches, as it gives out the message that it will be Jesus Christ. That we live like you have told us how we are your letters. When they see how we live, they will read Jesus Christ. Oh, bless our church that we may live such a way to clearly demonstrate to the whole world that Jesus is our everything. To live is Christ. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.